This episode is dedicated to my friend and a good friend of the stand-up comedy community, Eric Myers. May he rest in peace.
Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Welcome to Homeschool Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because it was homeschooled.
It's time to document the journey.
Welcome back to Homeschool Podcast. I'm Augustino Zoid. I've missed you guys. I hope you missed me too. We've been, if you've been following, we've been only doing one episode a week. As before, I used to do two episodes a week of Homeschool Podcast, and I brought it down to one temporarily just because crazy busy stuff, a lot of projects. First of all, in February, I had a lot of gigs. I had six shows in Arizona. I had four shows in Northern Cal. And besides like working on this extra television show, or not a television show, but this extra series that I've been working on, the Sick Comics, takes a lot of the time, not only recording them, but like writing the scripts for each episode and stuff like that. So I appreciate your understanding that we are, just doing one a week, but it's March 1st, and for the most part, I'm going to be pretty much back to two episodes a week right now. So welcome back to Homeschooled Podcast. I'm your host, Augustino Zoida, and I'm here alone today. This is a solo podcast. We're going to talk about a couple things, some things on my mind. This episode is about, I don't know what it's about, you guys. I don't know what it's about. It's about appreciation, friendship, motivation maybe, dedication, and it's about this dog-eat-dog world that we live in as entertainers, and just to kind of give you guys, I mean, the world, let me close that little curtain behind me, what you guys seeing, all the little, where the magic comes from behind me in my garage here, the world itself is a dog eat dog world, but I just want to kind of also show you guys the stand up comedy trauma and competitiveness. So this podcast is about all of the above. Okay, so this episode is brought to you by Share a Sale, which is a great way to start making some money on your website, blog, or podcast. So if you have a podcast, blog, or something like that, and you want to start making some money off of it, and when you listen to all these other guys' podcasts like myself, and you wonder how do these guys get sponsors and stuff like that, and you think that you could do it, you know, maybe your number is even better than mine. How come I don't got sponsors? How do we even go about getting sponsors? So that's what Share a Sale is great for. I'll tell you guys, in the beginning, I hit the pavement myself. That's where I got sponsors. A lot of you guys starting out podcasts, you go like, oh, how do you get sponsors? Like, listen, when you're starting out a podcast and your numbers really aren't there yet, nobody's going to come knocking on your door and telling you, hey, we'll give you $500 a month to read our ad. Not going to happen. I got my sponsors in the beginning from hitting the pavement, you guys. I would think about a product or a service that I thought that my audience would really like, or something that I really liked. Maybe it was something that I wanted to get a discount on, and things that I use every day. And I would reach out to companies like that. I would just go and research like the top 20 companies, and I would literally email all of them. You go to their website, you find the contact page, or you find, you know, marketing manager's email, or just info at whatever, and you just find out what you can. And sometimes, you know, you'll just email info at the website, and they don't, that's not the right department. But a lot of times, you know, when you do that legwork, sometimes someone gets back to you, and then they'll say, hey, this is the person you want to talk to, and they'll give you the email. And you know what, you guys, you send out 20, like two people are going to reply. And eventually, you guys, that's how I got all my sponsors in the beginning, like Blowfish and what was a couple other ones? I don't even remember. It don't matter. But in the beginning, I got all this stuff just from reaching out to people. And you guys, you don't know until you try. So that's how I got it in the beginning. But you know what, now you got Share a Sale. So click the link in the description. It doesn't cost you anything to sign up. And the only catch is that you might get denied. But I got approved. So if I can do it, you can do it. If you got a decent looking website, you know, and you show them your website and you write, you fill out the application, you write your motive, where are you going to promote this on your website, on your blog, on your podcast. And if ShareSale approves you, it's free, doesn't cost you anything. You'll have access to all these merchants that are members of ShareSale. So like, that's where I got Puffy Mattress. That's where I got master classes through there. Embrace Pet Insurance. There's a lot of CBD companies on there. Guys, there is so many companies offering products and services that they're just looking for someone to read their ads. And, you know, when you're starting out and your numbers aren't that high in podcasting, no one's going to pay you a lot of money, or if any, if your numbers aren't high. So this is a great way so that you can make money, and it doesn't matter how many numbers you have. So what it is like, you're going to get your own custom link or promo code or something like that, and then you just get paid every time somebody's using this. So it doesn't cost them any money taking a risk on you, and it doesn't cost you any money to try to get sponsorship on your podcast. And I'll tell you guys what else, it gives value to your podcast. You know, if even if nobody uses your promo code for like the first year, it's just, if you're reading ads on a podcast, it sounds legit, you guys. You have guests on and they hear you reading ads, you're like, oh shit, this guy's podcast must be legit. He's got sponsorship already. And it's just good. Anything. Even if it's a local business, it's just good to read something. Even if it's you know, something, whatever it is that you can get on ShareSale. Guys, there's tons of stuff on there. So click the link in the description and sign up as an affiliate. Now, if you want to sign up as a merchant, maybe you have a business or something, you want to get you want people to read your ads on podcasts or blogs and stuff like that, you're going to sign up as a merchant, okay? So sign up as an affiliate if you're looking for sponsorship. All right. This is going to be a short episode, and half of it was fucking talking about sponsorships. All right, so I'll get right into it. This episode is going to be dedicated, and is about a friend of mine that passed away. And his name is Eric Myers. If you're in the comedy community, you either knew him or you knew of him but weren't that close, which is what I hear a lot. Or you've just seen like other comics posting about it and stuff that he had passed away. Young guy, 40 years old, super young. So first of all, let's talk about some good stuff. Him and I were roommates at one point when my first wife and I had split up and I got my own place. I got a 2-bedroom in hopes that, you know, I can get a roommate to help me make the rent. And so I'm sitting there with this 2-bedroom apartment, you know, my wife and I split up, and I'm like sitting there thinking, how am I going to pay for this? And, you know, started thinking about getting roommates, and Eric Myers needed a place to live at the time too. And we just agreed on an amount that he would pay me every month to rent the room out. And so we were roommates for a little while, and you know what? It was fun. It was a lot of fun. And when I started stand-up, I was already in a relationship with the person I ended up marrying. And when we got divorced, that was like, you know, I got to... Because before that, listen, I lived with my family. I lived with my parents when I first started stand-up. And then I lived alone for like a second, but I was still like engaged. So she was coming in and out of the house anyway. And then when I got divorced, this was like a real comedy time, you know, because sure, I would go to the comedy clubs and hang out late at night until 2 o'clock in the morning till they closed. And then you and some of the comics would go back to whoever's house and keep the party going. And, which is probably a big giant chunk of the reason I got divorced to begin with. I mean, you know, just not going home. I mean, as much as I complain about my ex and stuff like that, I was no picnic either, you guys. Fucking husband just doesn't come home at night, you know. I was going to the comic's house doing all kinds of drugs and drinking and stuff until the sun comes up. And I get home, and she's leaving for work, you know. It just, but the point is that when we split up, and this was my first time having, like, roommates, like guy roommates. I grew up with three sisters. I have no brothers, and I've never experienced anything like having brothers until I found brotherhood in other stand-up comics. And this was a lot of fun. So I remember Eric moving in with me, and like, I can remember, you know, we didn't have furniture. He had an air mattress, and my ex took a lot of stuff, including a lot of movies and DVDs and stuff, which I like literally fought for and got a lot of them back. And I remember I had, and I still have, every single season of Seinfeld, along with many other DVDs that I had. And you know, Eric found them, and he was like, "Ah, player, you's got the." That's how he would talk. He'd be like, "You's got the all the Seinfelds. Let's watch this." So like on an air mattress, just watching Seinfelds and stuff. And then, you know, I'd leave and I'd go to work or I'd go to the club. And then I'd come back, and he'd be sitting there still watching Seinfeld. And if anybody knows who I'm talking about, it's like one of the guys. This guy is a beastly comic, like such a good, such a talented comedian. Like, I think he got, I think he's probably one of the fastest comedians to ever get passed at the Comedy Store. Like, he moved here and boom, showcased and boom, got passed. Like, this was a comic you didn't want to follow. Just a beast on stage. Just a hell of a performer. Hell of a writer. Hilarious stand-up comedian. And just, you know, to headliner really fast. To, like, you just don't want to... Like, I've had to follow him on stage before. Guys, you don't want to follow this guy. This guy was like, next level, man. And I remember the times when we were living together. You know, I'd come home late after working at the club or something, and you know, he hit me up one day. He came out in the living room and he was like, "Hey, man, like, you're," he was like, "Dude, you're such a good writer." I think that he's, you know, maybe he saw me at the club before and then just beat me home. That's all. But he was just like, "Dude, like, you know, every time I see you, like, your writing gets better and better, and you're such a good writer, such a good storyteller." And he would ask me to help him write his stuff. And it was a huge honor. He'd be like, "Hey, man, could you help me write?" I'm like, "Bro, can you help me write?" Like, you know, but it just really gave me this feeling of comedy brotherhood, which I already kind of had that feeling at the time, but nothing like where, you know, first roommate, and I was living the life of stand-up comics, and then another comic, Dustin Ibarra, moved in with us too, and at one point it was like the three of us in one house, just for a short period. Because eventually it became 2 months, too much, a two-bedroom apartment with one bathroom, three dudes. And then I was in a relationship seeing someone right away again and dating. And you know, so it became a lot. So eventually, like, Eric moved out and it was just me and Dustin. But for that period where it was the three of us in there, we were, like, writing and helping each other with jokes or just having fun, creatively complimenting each other and helping each other, and it was a really good time. But I mean, but I remember before Dustin, when it was just Eric there, he had such a sweet tooth. Like, Eric was funny, like, with his food and stuff. Like, I remember he would struggle a lot. Like, he was on food stamps, I remember. And I remember that with your food stamps, that you could, in addition to groceries, you can go to certain, like, restaurant chains and get food, and not good restaurant chains. He would go to, like, Domino's. Actually, I can't really remember a time where I've seen him use the food stamps for groceries. But he would go to Domino's Pizza, who took the food stamps, and he got, like, a bunch of pizzas, like, tons of sub sandwiches. And he'd put them all in the fridge. And I'd go open the fridge. There'd be, like, so much Domino stuff. Like, full pizzas. And he'd be like, "Hey, man, I bought all this pizzas and subs with my food stamp. So just do me a favor and don't eat them." Because that was, like, his food to live off for a while. And then I remember, like, at the time, my wife was just my girlfriend. And she would come over. And she's also a bit of a sweet tooth. You know, she always had, like, chocolate bars. But every time we'd go out, we'd pick up a chocolate bar. Even if we didn't need it. It's like one of every, you know, a Twix, a Snickers, like one of everything. And she kept him, like, in this little basket. So there was just a basket full of candies, like little candies all the time. And they would, like, little by little disappear until they were all gone. And Eric would be like, "Man, tell her I'll get her back later. I ate all them candies." But just a good time. And I remember, like, going on the road with him. I never went on the road with him anywhere where we had to fly. I went on the road with him a lot where we would drive long drives to gigs. And he made those drives go by quickly because he would just make me laugh. We had a good time. We talked about comedy. And, I mean, you just can't go wrong working with that dude. A couple times I took him with me for gigs that I had heard about, and I just had him headline. Honestly, guys, not somebody you want to follow. You know, we'd split the money up, and I'd just be like, hey, dude, I drive. We'll split the money up. You can go last. We'll do the same amount of time, though. And then just, you know, he just didn't care. Like, he just loved stand-up. He loved writing and talking about writing with me. And the car rides were really fun. And, you know, and he'd just be like, hey, man, you get any more of these, please tell me. I have no problem doing these. Like, it would just both make some money and do some stand-up, man. It was a good times. And make each other laugh. And I remember driving back one night. Like, we did this gig, and it was down this really long, dark road. There's nothing around us but, like, tumbleweeds and fucking, you know, like this road went on for miles, just darkness. I remember, like, on the way back, I saw, like, fucking rabbits jumping out and shit. So Eric was a big fan of horror in addition to Seinfeld, apparently. He was always, like, you know, he really loved horror films and liked talking about those movies and, you know, just liked being scared. We talked about that a lot, I remember. But on the way back down that road, he'd be like, hey, man, what do you think it's like with, like, completely lights out here? I'm stuck in the dark out in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, I don't know, man, fucking scary. Like, he's like, what if our car just, like, broke down on this road? We're out here with zero lights, just in the dark. And he's like, turn your headlights off. Let's see what it looks like. We're sitting there driving down this dark road alone, and I turn my headlights off. And he'd be like, oh, fuck, turn it back on. Turn it back on. It's too dark. And I turn him back on, and we're like, oh, bro, that was so scary. And we're like, do it again. Like, we would just laugh and laugh, man. And so now get to a darker place, which I don't really want to go into too much because it's a side of him that I don't want necessarily to be the only thing people remembered him by, because it seems to be the thing that a lot of people are talking about. But what he should be remembered by is, like, this fucking beast, brilliant comic. And so, but he did struggle with some demons, you know, with addiction. Mostly alcohol, you know. Nothing too crazy as far as I know. As far as drugs or anything, maybe. I'm not really sure, but I know alcohol was the big one that he struggled with. And he had some really funny bits about it, though. And it's just, you know, some people, when they get to have too many drinks, it just hits them different, you know. And they don't know when to stop. They just act different. So he was like, the period that he lived with me was 100% sober. But to the point where you couldn't have, like, hand sanitizer in the house because it contained alcohol. So things like that. But anyway, even though he had moved out, years had gone by, and, you know, we're still friends. We still did shows together. We constantly worked together and stuff like that. And I'd see him around town and things that, you know, you start to hear things. He wasn't doing well. He'd fall off the wagon and, came to a point where, you know, I had to let him stay with me for a couple of nights on the couch. But at the time I was like, you know, also getting married, and I was also, no, I take that back, I wasn't getting married yet, but I was also struggling with finances and rent, and I couldn't really pay to keep him somewhere. Like, I knew some comics that chipped in and all got him a hotel room for a couple of nights because he had nowhere to go, and, you know, just so he can sober up a little bit. I let him stay with me a couple of nights. I know another comic that went and picked him up and stayed with him for, like, a lot of comics, like, chipped in, and it came to the point where, like, couldn't have him stay with me anymore. He ran out of money. We all ran out of money. And I went to another friend of ours, a mutual friend, and was like, hey, dude, you know, I had him for two nights. So-and-so had him for two nights. Next guy had him for two nights. Like, can you take a turn? Like, we all kind of can't, you know, financially right now help him out. So can you, like, help him out? Maybe let him sleep on your couch one night and let him, you know, lend him $20. I remember we were always constantly having to lend him $20 because he had to pick up this prescription, which helps you with addiction. And the dude said, like, fuck him, you know, which I get. to a certain extent. Like, I get it on some levels, because there's certain people that are like, you know, they've burned too many bridges. And, but it was the reasoning that this person said. They said, you know what, man? Fuck them. It's one less person to compete with in Los Angeles. And what they meant was, as a, they meant stand-up, a stand-up comic. Like, the guy was super talented, a beastly comic. Most people couldn't follow him. Just brilliant, talented writer, talented performer. And, you know, this guy meant, like, he's in our way of moving up. Like, if he's out of the picture, and I and forgive me that I'm holding back half the story, because I really don't want to go into that side of his life too much. But also, it was a long time ago, and it's kind of foggy, and it's coming back to me as I talk. But I remember that, like, the reason we were trying to, you know, hey, can you loan him $20, $40, or let him sleep on your couch tonight? It was basically all like, if he couldn't do it one more night, he was going to have to go back to Florida to live with his family or something. And basically, that's not a good place to be. At the time, Los Angeles was the place to be. And that kid was on his way up, man. Like, he was undeniably talented. And what the person was saying was, let him go back to Florida, dude. One less guy we got to compete with. We all just bumped up a level. And that's the dog-eat-dog world of stand-up comedy, you guys. And I know I've dealt with a lot of people with addiction before. Sometimes they can be really selfish, and sometimes they burn your bridge too many times, you know. But I know that addiction is an illness too, and you can't help people so much. Also, sometimes if you help people, it's not really helping them. But in this particular case, it was like, you know, we've all kind of pitched in so that to help the dude stay here a little longer and sober up. And, you know, had like a pitch in a TV show or something like that. And it's just like, man, fuck him. Let him go back home to his parents, which I get that too. But, like, it was just, the guy was doing it for the wrong reasons, you know. And that's stand-up comedy. So I just want everybody to remember him as this fucking great comic. Like, even the news article I read in Fort Worth, Texas, where he had passed away, said, like, you know, pedestrian hit. And I wanted to be like, we got to scratch out that headline. Like, we got to call them, or I wanted to repost it and be like, scratch out pedestrian. Fucking legendary comic, you know, was hit and killed. Legend, you guys. Legend. Murder like I've never heard anyone murder on stage. Standing ovations. Unfollowable. And let's get to the real point of this podcast. Ever since, and this is common when someone passes away, everyone just says nice things, you know, how great and talented he was, which is great. I mean, when someone passes away, that's what you do. You say nice things about them. I opened up this podcast about talking about some funny stories and good times I had with them. That's what you're supposed to do when someone passes away. But I never heard anybody say anything about him like that until after he was gone. And that's very common too. They say, you know, oh, he was the fucking funniest. Everything I said to you, nobody could follow him on stage. You know, that guy was killer, murdered on stage. Like, so talented. Such a shame he's gone too soon. You know, what a waste of talent. Like, all this stuff. You know, we love you and you're so talented. You're one of the greatest comics ever seen perform. These are all great things that people have been saying, including myself. But I want everyone to know the importance of saying these things to people while they're still here. That's when they needed to hear it. I know you got to say nice things about somebody when they pass away. I ain't mad at you. But, you know, I notice a lot of people talk, like, they'll post on Facebook or Instagram or something, you were so talented, I missed you. Like, you're not talking to them. You're talking to all your followers, so everybody can see that you said that to him. If you want to talk to your followers, talk to your followers. Say he was. Let them know. what he was and what he did and what he meant to you. But I just want to let this be a reminder to everybody that we should constantly be telling each other all this stuff, how talented you are. Not just people who have demons or are facing demons and obstacles, but everybody, anybody. If you love somebody, man, you tell them. If you think someone's super talented or they have so much potential, and you see something in them, so what? You can't do anything about it. Yeah, you're not a big producer. I mean, I see so much potential in you, but I can't do nothing about it. So what? People just need to hear that shit. Tell them while they're still here. You gotta let people know while they're still here that, you know, it's gonna keep them going. In this particular case, it was not suicide, which is rare for stand-up comics. I hate to say it, unfortunately, that's the truth. But you know what, guys? A lot of the times, it is. And not just for stand-up comics, a lot of industries. And right now, in this world in general, suicide is up. So if you tell people these things, how much they mean to you and how talented you think they are and how much potential they have and how far they can go and that they have good ideas and they're, you know, if you tell people this, you might keep them going just a little bit longer. And even if they're not suicidal, like in this case, it wasn't a suicidal case. It's not why I'm saying this. But you never know. Saying something like that, you might change something in the universe. You might push them to go somewhere else, and maybe they wouldn't have been there that day. Or at the very, very, very least, even if you did lose them, you know that you told them the truth, and you know that you got to tell them that when you had the chance. And also, at the very least, you'll make someone feel good, which every single person right now desperately needs that. They need to feel good. And I can be proud of myself that I've definitely told him that. And you know what? He told me that. I ain't dead, thank God. But when we were both alive, we told each other what we meant to each other, and we told each other what we thought of each other, complimented each other on our art and talent. And I probably wouldn't have if he didn't say it first. So thank you to Eric for telling me that day, and thank you to anybody that has told me that. I'm fortunate. I have a lot of friends who are still in my life that have complimented me on my talent, my work ethic, and how far they think I'm going to go and the potential that they see in me. It keeps me going. It has kept me going many times when I've thought about quitting. When I've thought about, I'm not going to do a podcast anymore. The numbers are kind of down. Every little thing helps. Somebody even messages me, an email or something to compliment the podcast. They just go, hey, we think that the podcast is great, you know. It just keeps me going, like, oh, man, that's why I do it, you know. Let people know. So that's what this episode is about. That's the message. Please stop what you're doing. Pick up the phone, text, Skype, Zoom, write a letter, a handwritten letter, mail it. Whatever you got to do, let somebody know what they mean to you and that they're fucking talented. And if you really think that they're good at what they do, or they got potential to be the best or potential to really do better and go far, maybe it's so obvious you don't think, you'll think they know, but people need to hear it. Or maybe it's not so obvious, in which case people really need to hear it. All right, you guys, do me a personal favor and go out and do that to at least one person. At least one person this week. And that's it. That's all I got to say to you guys. I just wanted to give a little moment of silence for my friend. And I hope that we can all at least learn from this. And I hope that we can keep learning without having to keep losing people. All right, you guys. Thank you so much. I love you guys. You know who I am. I'm Augustino Zoida. I'm a stand-up comic. I'm a worker. I'm a dreamer. And I'm going after it. And thank you guys for tuning in every week too as we document the journey. And I hope that you come along. And it's been great. You know, if anybody needs to talk, if you want to reach out or anything like that, you can contact me. Go to homeschooledpod.com. Click on contact. I do get those. I get those messages and I'll get back to them as soon as I can. And then also, if you follow me on social media, everything is at Augustino Zoida on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find those links at homeschoolpod.com. On the bottom, you see the Twitter and Instagram and Facebook icons. But just follow me on social media, and if you message me on there, I'll get back to you there too. If you just need to talk, whatever it is, you got something on your mind, you want to tell me, go fuck myself, whatever the fuck, you guys, I'll answer. And please continue to support the show if you can. We got t-shirts, stickers, stuff like that. Everything can be found at homeschoolpod.com. I'm working on some more dates so I can come out to different areas and see you guys and perform stand-up comedy again. And right now, my Paso Robles gig got moved again, which is why I keep saying I don't want to do California anymore this year, because the dates just keep moving. But I'm keeping the Paso Robles date. It's now going to be Father's Day weekend, which is the Saturday, the 19th, June 19th. And in the meantime, until then, I'm going to start to try to find some other dates in other states and come out and see you guys real soon. I really appreciate the support. I'm Augustino Zoida. Don't forget that only love can save the world. This is Homeschool Podcast. Take care, you guys.
Homeschool Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
No, okay.
I don't want to do that at all.